Word of God, I was watching Sean back there. He was kind of wandering around a little bit, and I know what he was doing, but I just thought, well, this would be the time to go ahead and get up, and start my message. But I wouldn't have done that to you, Sean. I wouldn't have done that to you. And but anyways, before we read, I was wondering if anybody had a word, good word for the Lord tonight. Good word, testimony, something good happened this week. Hopefully not. Yes, Brother Joe. It was very good. It was exciting to see some youngins, and they're excited about it, and that just excites me. It really excited me too. So, anybody else? Good word for the Lord? Anybody? Yes. Well, good. Good. We want to take care of the house of God the very best we can, and the best that our finances can also do it as well. But just want to just make sure, it doesn't take much. You don't have to spend a lot of money to make a few improvements before things just kind of look spruced up a little bit. And like I said, we've just been cleaning out things, and we just want to open up. Just pray with me as we desire to start a few more classes along the way. I'm looking at some possibilities of some more classes along the way to be started. I think there's going to be a few open doors soon. And of course, we want to get our choir started, and there's just different things we're just kind of making progress on, and just continue to pray with me about it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Brother Joe, you want to go a third? No, I just wondered. Okay. All right. Anybody? Okay. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to stand and read verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, we will read verses 35 through 41 responsively. I'll read, then you read, and so forth. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he Fearful, how is it that ye have no faith? And verse 41 together, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to bless this sermon. I pray, God, that you bless this service. Have your hand upon it. Speak to hearts. Fill me tonight, Lord, and give me clarity. Give me the words that you'd want said as if you were standing here. I pray you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Speak to you tonight on the subject, Why Are Ye So Fearful? I think through the years of me working with young people and even working with adults and different church members, I know that sometimes you come to the end of a month or maybe come to an end of a year, just you come to a point where fear kind of builds up. And when fear does that, of course, you lose your faith. I've seen many young people, when fear creeps in, maybe to a young person, if they see the fear of divorce enter their family, or if they see the fear of some sort of outside device, if you will, harming the household, that causes fear, and it also causes a young person to lose faith in God. I've seen adults as well that, if there's more month than money, as I say often, and when there's heartache after heartache after heartache and storm after storm after storm, we have a tendency to get fearful, and we wonder, God, are you still in control? And we wonder, God, are you still there? And you wonder, God, where are you in my day of trouble, if you will, as David cried out. And I think in our story here, of course, the Bible speaks of there were some fearful disciples. Just to explain the story a little bit, Jesus and his disciples had spent the day preaching and serving people. And any of us here know who are busy on a Sunday teaching a class, running a bus route, working a nursery, cleaning the building, The list goes on and on. Not just that, you outside the church, you know, raising a family and your schedule that you have to go by, going to work and getting up and, you know, your everyday schedule, you get weary and you get tired. And of course, Sundays alone, can be very draining to a lot of you who are busy. You get up in the morning. You work on getting your kids together for church, and you show up, and some of you may have to show up different times because of an obligation at church, and you prepare for a lesson or whatever the case may be, and you realize the energy that it takes in serving people. Parent, you understand the energy that it takes to serve your kids, to get your kids ready, and it just takes a lot out of you. It was after a long day of serving that Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us pass over to the other side." They boarded a ship, of course, the Bible says. And during the voyage, a storm arose. The Bible says it was a great storm of wind. The waves were beating on the ship, and no doubt the sea was choppy, tossing the ship to and fro. And the waves were so high that the water was going into the ship. The Bible says that so it was now full. I don't know how full is full as far as a ship, but with the crew that's on there, and then the disciples, and all the things that you have to have on there, the luggage and different things, and then you got to add to that the water that was beating onto the ship and into the ship itself. I can imagine it was a very fearful and very frightening situation for these disciples. And no doubt these disciples, they were tired, they were weary, for they had been serving with Jesus. I believe this chapter in Mark chapter 4 was almost a period, and I don't want to go ahead and be locked into this statement as fact, but I think my studying shows it was almost about a day's period, and they were busy, and if you just read the parables and different things and all the serving that they did, if you read this particular chapter, you'd see all that the disciples and Jesus had done in this period of a day, and I'm sure they were all wiped out. I'm sure these disciples were very tired, and they were beat, if you will, from their work that they were doing. But now, here we are on this ship. Jesus says, "Let's pass over to the other side." The Bible says when even was come, it was evening time, if you will, "Let us pass over to the other side." And then all of a sudden here they get on this ship, and as they go out on their voyage, a storm starts to arise. The waves start getting choppy, and the boat starts going back and forth, and I can just imagine the fear of these disciples. And of course, Jesus, being very, very tired, he was in the hinder part of the ship, if you will, asleep. And of course, they go down and they say, "Master, carest not thou that we perish?" And they were in fear, and these disciples were just scared. And I think perhaps if it was me, I'd be fearful too. And again, we can liken this fear to our ship of our life, the ship that, or the will of God that God has for us. I wish I could say as your pastor that it was always going to be a bed of roses, if you will, that the Christian life was always going to be on top side, and the Christian life was always going to be a mountaintop experience. I wish I could say that, but the truth of the matter is that's not reality. The truth of the matter is financial woes do come, and the truth of the matter is hard times do come, and the truth of the matter is cancer does come, and leukemia may come, and a bad doctor's report may come, or diabetes may come, and the truth of the matter is hard times, a loss of a loved one will come. And I wish I could always say that we could always be on top side and everything would always be joyous, but the truth of the matter is it is not always that, and fear comes into our life. And oftentimes when fear, once we have a little bit of fear, comes a little bit of doubt, and that's where we start losing our faith. God, are you really in control of this ship? God, are you really, really here with me? I think, as I was preparing this, I said, "Lord, this is kind of more of a Sunday morning sermon," and it is, but I feel like it was so necessary for our people tonight. And I hope I'll capture your attention this evening, because I really, really want to help you. But when fear comes, of course, with these disciples, I wonder what they were thinking. When fear comes in your life, it's so easy to start thinking negative. It's so easy to start thinking, I wonder, is this really, really worth it? Is the Christian life really, really worth it? Maybe the disciples, they maybe got on that ship, and here they were tired, they were weary, and I don't know, maybe they were asleep too, and then the storm came, and they all awoke, and they were maybe fearful and so forth. I don't know the whole story there. The Bible doesn't say, but the Bible does say that they were fearful. And the Bible does say that as a result of their fear, Jesus asked, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So as a result of their fear, obviously they lost some faith, in God, perhaps, and why is this happening? Maybe they had maybe that attitude for a little while here until they awoke Jesus and Jesus calmed the sea. Maybe they had that attitude like some of us when we get scared and when we get fearful, this just isn't fair. Why is this happening to me? God, and we got to be very careful here, Christian. God, you want me to go ahead and serve you. Then, and I've gone ahead and I've taught that class. I read my Bible every day. I serve you. I tithe. I do this. I do this. I do this. God, then why is this storm in my life? Why is this storm here? Why is my ship, if you will, why is it just always so wavy and topsy-turvy? Why, God, this just isn't fair. And what happens if we're not careful, we get to a point and we shake our fists at God, say, this isn't fair. I'm not going to go ahead and do this anymore. I've had enough. And it's no wonder why the church house oftentimes isn't full. It's no wonder, you know, the truth of the matter is if folks that Faith Baptist Church has reached through the years were here tonight, we'd have to go ahead and build a new building. You know, but the truth of the matter is somewhere along the way, and I know there's many, many different circumstances, but the truth of the matter is some may have fallen off simply because of fear, and then because of that fear, doubt settled in and said, God, this just isn't fair. This shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have been in my life. This shouldn't have happened to my family. This just is not fair. God, I have gone ahead and I've given you all that I've got. I've given you my time. I work 40 hours a week and plus. I do this. I raise my family up. And then this. And then I lose my wife to death. Or I lose my husband to death. Or this financial, it just seems like I can't get out of the financial hole. And we start fearing and we get so scared that, forget it, it's not worth it anymore. And I have to think about these disciples a little bit. Maybe they got on that ship, they were tired. I know when I'm tired. I know that, you know, when you're really, really wiped, and I'm sure mentally these disciples were very wiped. And when you're really, really wiped, you know what? You do have a tendency to start thinking different if you're not careful. That's why it's important to get good rest, by the way. You know, after a long day's work, it's so important to get good rest. But I'm sure mentally they were tired. And I know that when I'm tired, something just doesn't seem to go right. Sometimes you get a little bit short with people. Sometimes you get a little bit short even with God. God, man, I've gone ahead and I've served and I've served and I've served. God, this just isn't fair. You know, maybe they, perhaps, of course, were doubting. Their ship, if you will, is in danger of shipwreck. And as a result, they start maybe losing some of their faith and they start doubting. Maybe they say, as we do when we're fearful, is this really worth it? Is soul winning really worth my time? Is being ridiculed for the cause of Christ really worth it? When the Christian starts to lose faith, they start doubting and wondering if serving God really, really is worth their time. Oftentimes I've heard them saying, preacher, serving God's a hassle to me. I've heard it saying. I've heard some real great Christians at one time say, you know what, it seems like I gave my life and I spent my life. And the truth of the matter is, it just felt like it kept on getting worse and worse and worse. And I've had people tell me who were serving, who sat where you sat faithfully, and say, you know what, it just got to be a hassle. It got to be an inconvenience. I felt like I was giving and it wasn't doing anything for me. I've had people make fun of me, and I've had people ridicule me. Hey, let me just stop and say this. They made fun of Jesus, and he turned out just fine. You know what? And truth of the matter is, Christian, I can't promise you tonight that it's always going to be a bed of roses. I can't promise you it's always going to be a mountaintop experience. But let me tell you something. You have that friend, and I talk about it a lot, but that friend that is Jesus, and he sticks closer than a brother, and he's right there with you every step of the way. And bottom line is, disciples and church tonight, we just need to keep on trusting him. When the clouds seem so dark and you wonder, how can I keep on going? We just need to keep on trusting Jesus. You know, serving God is not a hassle. Yes, you may be made fun of, but they made fun of Jesus, and he did just fine. And tonight, he arose, of course, from the grave, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And let me tell you something. You know, you may get made fun of, but the truth of the matter is, the day is going to come that you're going to arise. The day is going to come, there will be a better day. And maybe it may not be on this side of heaven, but let me tell you something. You stay faithful, and you stay true. You keep doing what you're doing, bus captain. You keep doing what you're doing, Sunday school teacher. You keep on soul winning, soul winner. time. You keep on reading your Bible, Christian, and let me tell you something. The day is going to come. It's going to be all right. Because one of these days, as I mentioned this morning, God's going to go ahead and tell his son, okay, son, it's time to go get our children. It's time to go get our children. And one of these days, the clouds are going to part, and Jesus is going to come back for his own. And you know what? What a day that will be when Jesus we see. Amen. But Christians doubt, and when we doubt, and when we become fearful, they will start wondering if the Bible is really true. They may start questioning the will of God. It seems just when one starts doubting that the wrong people seem to start showing up. You know, I've seen that. Just about the time that we start doubting as a Christian and wonder, God, is this fair? You know, some of the critics, if you will, they kind of sit on the sidelines and say, you know what? You know, they seem to show up at that particular time. And they seem to go ahead and just pour it on more, and they pour it on more, and they pour it on more. They may go ahead and say people like, I told you the church was crazy. I told you that preacher, what he preaches is a little bit much. You don't actually believe everything that the Bible says, do you? You don't actually believe all that the preacher is preaching, do you? You better be careful, because let me tell you something. When Satan sees you doubting, and when Satan sees your fear, and about that time, that's when we have a tendency to put our guard down. And about that time, that's when we have a tendency to loosen up a little bit. And that armor of God that Ephesians talks about, put on the whole armor of God, we have a tendency to loosen up a little bit. And at that particular time, when we become fearful, we just kind of sit back and relax, and we put our guard down, we put our sword down, we put our shield down, we loosen up the armor a little bit, and let me tell you something, the devil zoomed right in and says, you know what, there's a little crack in that armor right there, they've loosened up the leggings, if you will, I don't know all the suit of armor, but they've loosened up some areas of their armor, and they put their sword down, they put their shield down, you know what, right now, the devil says, here's my time to attack, hey, the fiery darts of the wicked is going to come right at you, that's why, Christian, if you're down there, or if you're up there, you've got to keep your guard up, every single moment of the day. But when we do that, it just seems like the folks start coming around, start criticizing even more. And Satan will go ahead and bring the at that time, to the so-called right people at the right time to go ahead and bring you down even further. Maybe you're here tonight. You're on that ship with Jesus, and you've trusted him as Savior. But the storm has hit. You know, you've been weary. I know tonight I'm talking to a bunch of weary folks. Several weary. You know, you've served all day. You've given your heart and you've given your soul to bus kids, to teaching a class, to getting your children ready for church. And you've just served and served and served. You've served your family. You've worked all week. I know I'm talking to some tired folks tonight. But the storm has hit. And when you're tired, you know, you start doubting a little bit when that storm hits. Causing you to ask, is a Christian life worth it? Is a ministry really worth it? Is that bus route really worth it? Yeah. I'm going to just go ahead and answer with a simple yes. Is that nursery job really worth it? Yes. Is that Sunday school class really worth it? Yes. Is raising your children for the Lord worth it? Yes. Is living a good, clean testimony for the Lord when times get tough worth it? Yes. Is it all worth it? Yes, it is. And let me tell you, disciples, if I could talk to you a little bit before you woke Jesus up, hey, you know what? You just need to trust in Christ. You just need to keep on, don't get fearful to a point where you lose your faith. And church folks tonight, Faith Baptist Church, don't get to a point where you get so scared that you bail out on God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Maybe that there's a storm you're going through right now. Maybe there's a heartache. There's a disappointment. There's an illness. Maybe there's a job loss. Maybe there's a loss of a loved one. And you're so fearful and you feel like, and I know it just seems like you keep on having, you know, I know people and I've had them too. You get through one battle and then another battle. And you feel like, does it ever end? You know what? Truth of the matter is, folks, it will not totally end until we get to heaven, until we get to see Jesus one day. But you know what? The storm you're going through right now, let me tell you something. Don't you start doubting on God. Don't you start doubting him. He's still on the throne. He hasn't changed any. He hasn't moved anything, any at all. You just keep on trusting God. You just keep on showing up to church. You just keep on reading your Bible. You keep on praying. You keep on praying down the power of God. You keep on raising your family for Christ. You keep on serving, you keep on loving, you keep on teaching that Sunday school class, you keep on working that bus route, you keep on keeping on. Don't you quit on God. You ask, why this storm? You know what? Maybe you have some storms in your life because maybe God looks down, he says, I want to strengthen you spiritually with it. I want to strengthen you tonight with that storm. You know what? We ought to look at the storms of our life as an opportunity to get strength from God. You know what? You ought to use that storm. Listen now. You ought to use that storm as an opportunity to go ahead and say, okay, God, there's a reason why I'm in this battle. There's a reason why I'm in this heartache. There's a reason why this is happening. Why don't you just go ahead, instead of looking at it negatively, instead of looking at it as such a problem in life, go ahead and say, you know what? Turn that thing around and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and use it for good. All things work together for good. The Bible says. And you know what? Maybe you do fight cancer. Maybe you do fight a heartache. Maybe you do fight some loneliness. Maybe you do fight some heartache or some discouragement. Hey, but let me tell you something. Instead of going ahead and going down with it, why don't you say, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have Christ lift me out of it, and I'm going to use it as an opportunity to serve God with it. You know what? It might be that God wants you to use that battle or that heartache to go ahead and strengthen you spiritually. Then let him. Well, use it as a positive in life. Use that heartache as a positive in life. You know, and maybe that heartache is maybe you lost a spouse. Okay? You lost a spouse. And I'm sorry about that. But you know what? If or when that time comes, you know what? You ought to go ahead and say, okay, I lost my spouse, and he or she will be in heaven. Now you have an opportunity. You can go ahead and be down the dumps the rest of your life. Thinking of a man right now. Married several years. Good, fine Christian man, but he just can't, you know, he lost his wife to cancer a couple years ago. And he just can't seem to get out of it. You know, truth of the matter is, ever since then, you know, he lost his hope. I mean, and I've visited him time to time. He lives up in the, I've visited him often. Sweet Christian man. Good Christian man. And he says, you know, Pastor, I know I don't make it to church like I should, and I know this. I do want you to know. And he tries to pacify it to a certain degree. And I know that he reads his Bible. I know he prays. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, but he's let the death of his wife go ahead and just bring him to a point where he doesn't come to church anymore. He's let the death of his wife, and the truth of the matter, and I'm not dissing him tonight, fine man, but the truth of the matter is, you know what, and I've told him, I said, listen, you ought to use that as an opportunity to go ahead and minister to someone who's lost your spouse. Amen. That's good, by the way. And I'm just using that as an illustration. I don't know what else it may be. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe who knows what it is. But instead of going ahead and saying, God, this isn't fair. I'm scared, God. I'm scared to live the rest of my life alone without my spouse. I'm scared this is going to happen. I'm scared. Instead of shaking your fist at God saying, this is not worth it and this is not fair. Hey, why don't you turn it around as a positive and say, you know what? I'm going to take that battle. I'm going to take that heartache. I'm going to teach little boys and girls how to handle that heartache for Christ. I'm going to go ahead and teach people how they can go ahead and get through it, because let me tell you something, this Bible right here will teach you how to get through it and use it for good. Use it for good. You know, don't use it as an opportunity. You know, okay, if you're going through a battle and it's tough, you know, and you're going through it right now, what are you going to do about it? If you're going through it right now, what, maybe there was some preventive measures that you could have done before it happened. Maybe there was. But if you're going through it, whatever the case may be, at this particular, what are you going to do about it? You're there. Okay, you're there. So the truth of the matter is, okay, you can go, maybe midway through this battle, whatever it may be, you can say, you know what, God, this just isn't worth it. You're going to do one or two things. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to serve God anymore, or I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use this as an opportunity. You know, there's nothing you can do about it now. You're already in it. You may as well just go ahead and be a good soldier. We preached about a few weeks ago. Be a good soldier. Stand strong. Take one day at a time and keep on going forward and keep on going forward and keep on going forward for God. And why don't you just go ahead and just use that little battle or that little heartache as a ministry for God. Amen. I've said it time and time again, but it just fits my message right now. You know what? As a result of cancer entering our home, you know what? We try to use that thing for good. You know, my wife and I have had the privilege of leading folks to Christ who have cancer simply because cancer has entered our home. You know what? You look at it a lot differently. You know what? In whatever battle you're going through, whatever illness, whatever heartache, you know what? You start looking at things a lot differently when you go through it. You really do. You know, it's amazing. You know, as a pastor, you know, when we got the news of her cancer, you know, I ministered to many people with cancer. I've talked to him, and I've encouraged him, and so forth. But let me tell you something. After cancer came into the home, boy, let me tell you something now. I look at it totally different because it's been real. I look at it totally different. Let me tell you something. When I go to cancer ward, different things. Let me tell you something. I know what they're. I mean, not physically, but I've seen what the other family members. You know, I could go ahead, and I've had the privilege of talking to people who is the spouse of a cancer victim. I know what they're going through. When I take my wife in, you know what? She knows what the cancer victim is going through. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? Use that battle for good. Don't go ahead and say, you know what, God, this just isn't fair. You know. Think about it. If we went ahead and said, when it came to us, said, you know what, God, I'm done. I wouldn't be a preacher tonight. And let me just say this, I thank God I am. I thank God I didn't turn my back. There was one, and I'm testifying, there was one little moment. I just had a weak moment. One little moment during that whole time I said, God, I don't think I can do this. And I was real close to the verge of just saying, you know what, I think I'm going to lay down the ministry. I'm going to just focus in on my wife and just, it was close. But you know what, so a few circumstances happened, just kind of woke me up a little bit. God just kind of had to shake me up a little bit. You know, and I came close, and I can't believe this, and I shouldn't say this because I'm me, and I'm a preacher of no quitting and different things, but the truth of the matter is, I can't believe that I almost came close to that. And I thank God tonight that God just says, you know what, Sean, listen to me. You're not the only one that's going through this. You better wake up. And you know what, he taught me some things during that time, and he taught me a lot of things, and he says, you know what, instead of being sitting down here in the clouds and being in the woes and being discouraged and wanting to get ready to quit on me and your teenagers and the ministry I gave you, why don't you use it as an opportunity to serve me? And you know what, from that day forward, I have. And from that day forward, the both of us have. What I'm trying to say tonight, hey, folks, you know what? These disciples here in this passage, they were fearful. They were scared. And Jesus said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? As a result of their fear, they lost their faith and saying, you know what? This just isn't worth it. I wonder if maybe they were on that boat saying, I don't think I can do this. You know, we've worked all day, God. We've done this. We've served all day. We do this. We do try to do right. And then this happens. Hey, let me tell you something. Use it for good. Use the battle for good. No matter what you're going through, use it for good. Let the battle go ahead and spiritually strengthen you. Maybe the storm is to help you be aware that you can't live this life alone. Amen. You know, even we as Christians, we get a little cocky. You know, I'm okay. You know, I can do this. I'm all set. You know, and unfortunately, because of that attitude, we cease to grow, by the way. You know, we can't live this Christian life. If you're going to go ahead and make it as a Christian and do and live clean and pure and do right and serve God and be what God wants you to be, you better understand that it's you and God that's a team. And by the way, you and God make a majority. You want to go ahead and live strong in this world and defeat Satan and be what God wants you to be. You better understand every single day that you and God are a majority, and you better team up with him every single day. Maybe some storms in your life. You know, sometimes we get to a point, and I'll just go back to that, our little cancer issue. You know what? I got to a point where, yeah, I can handle this a little bit. I'm okay. But the truth of the matter is I was spiritually getting a little bit weaker. You know what, I'd go to church, I was serving on staff, I'd go to church, I'd pretend, but you know what, the truth of the matter is, God knew my heart. And the truth of the matter is, I was getting a little bit weaker to a point where, God, you know what, I don't think I can serve anymore. And as I mentioned, you know, God woke me up a little bit, I'm glad that he did. But what I'm trying to say, you know what, the fear really has crept in, and I lost my faith. Hey, church member, you know what? You want to stay in this church 10 years from now. You better not be so fearful to a point where you start losing your faith. When the battles come, you better just keep on going. And by the way, you want to quit now. Okay, you want to go ahead and quit on God. You want to quit church. You want to quit reading your Bible and so forth. You know what? It's going to affect your family too. Them little eyes are going to be seeing that. And it's going to affect your family. When the storm comes, people have a tendency to quit. They have a tendency to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. And by the way, as I just mentioned, when they quit, they take others with them. You take your family with them. You'll take your Sunday school class with them. How do I take my Sunday school class? Because they've seen you faithfully teach them every week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But when the troubles come, I'm done, Pastor. I'm not going to teach anymore, and so forth. And they, them little boys and girls, that doesn't matter what age, they'll look at you and say, what happened to Brother So or Miss So and So? Why can't they, you know? They start wondering and say, you know what? Hey, I heard some hard times came to them. I don't think I'll go to church anymore. I don't think I'll go ahead and go to church anymore. You know what? If they can't come to church, they quit on God, bless God. You know what? When they get a little bit older, they're going to say, you know what? Miss So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, they used to teach me. But you know what? Tough times came. I saw them down the street doing whatever. They don't go to church anymore. And you know what? Bless God. It's not good for them. It's not good for me either. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Don't you think that you quitting will not affect others. It will affect others. It will affect that Sunday school class. It will affect that bus route. You don't show up on that bus route one Sunday, and I'm not, you know, there's vacation, different things, but because you decided to get a little sour on God because life's not fair, let me tell you something. Them little boys and girls, they'll figure it out after a while. They'll go ahead and figure it out, and they say, you know what? Hey, it's not good for them. Hey, church isn't good for me either. And God, I'm just going to go ahead and put you on a shelf. I'm not going to go ahead and serve you. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, you know what? What happens when the storm comes? Oftentimes, we go ahead and quit, causing others to go ahead and quit also. That's no way, by the way, to recruit an army for God. Amen. You know what? We are supposed to be soldiers. We're supposed to be good soldiers. And if we're going to go ahead and defeat the devil, if we're going to go ahead and shoot hell with a squirt gun, if we're going to go ahead and take a stand for Christ, and if we're going to recruit people, it's going to be by our testimony. It's going to be by us standing strong and us moving forward for Christ and not quitting in the heat of the battle. We quit because of heartaches. We leave the very God who can help us through it. What happens when the storm comes? Sometimes we have a tendency to run to the world. They say, I tried Christianity, it did not work. No, you just didn't give God a fair chance. Amen. You just didn't go ahead and give God a fair chance. You know what? You know what? Who left? God never left you. You left him. And you feel like, well, I tried this, so you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go booze it up. I'm going to go ahead and drug it up. I'm going to go ahead, and all the while you lose your family because of it. All the while you lose your testimony because of it. And people will say, you know what? That man or that lady or that teenager, they once went to church. They were excited about God. But you know what? Somewhere along the way, they quit on God. They ran to the world. And you know what? If it's good for them, I'll go ahead and do it too. And it, like I said, that's no way to go ahead and recruit soldiers for the army. What I'm trying to say, we don't need any quitters tonight. We need people when you're down low. And I know there's low times. I know some of you are going through some tough times. But we must keep on going. We run to the world. We say, I tried Christianity. It didn't work. I tried tithing. It did not work. How do you know? Did you eat today? I'd say God blessed you then. Did you wake up today and you're breathing? I say God blessed you then. You know, we go ahead and I tried tithing, it just didn't work. I tried teaching a Sunday school class, it didn't work. What did you expect? Did you expect that every little boy and girl that you teach, or every pupil, or it doesn't matter who it is, maybe every adult that you teach, they're going to go ahead and sit there and they're going to pay attention, right? Look right at you? No. No. You know, and I tried teaching, but they just don't sit up and listen. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. They're getting a whole lot more than you think. They're getting a whole lot. You know, you may say, hey, little Johnny, sit up. Hey, little Susie, sit up. Hey, sit up. And you may think, little Johnny and Susie, they come every week. They cause havoc. They're not getting it. Hey, you know what? You keep on being faithful, and you stay in your place when the low times are going to come. Let me tell you something. They're going to go ahead and see that, and you might just be surprised. Little Johnny will be preaching in a church somewhere someday. Amen. You just don't know who the D.L. Moody's are going to be out there. You don't know who the pastor's wives are going to be out there. You don't know who the Charles Finney's or the next missionaries are going to be. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you just keep on teaching your class through the low time. Don't you quit on God. Hey, but I've tried teaching. It just doesn't work. You know, it just doesn't seem to work. I've tried to raise my family in the church, but it seemed they rebelled. You know what? You know why they rebelled? Because we stopped being consistent. We stop being consistent. You know what? If you're going to raise your family for God, especially in this generation, you, parent, need to be consistent. You know what? You know what? You know what will take the decision out of whether you go to church or not? You just get up and decide you're going to go. I know that's very, very, very simple. Very simple. But, you know, I'm very elementary. And you know what? But you just decide, you know what? I'm going to church. Why? Because the Bible says so. You know what? You know what? It shouldn't be Saturday night. Well, I think I'll go to church tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to church tomorrow. You know what? No, the Bible says we ought to go to church. And you know what? You just take the decision out of it by getting up and say, okay, kids, we need to be up a certain time. Once you get ready, once you get dressed, eat your breakfast, we're going to go to church and eat our breakfast and do all that we need to do. And then we're going to go to church. Hey, you know what? Just be there. But we say, I've tried to raise my family. They just seem to rebel. Hey, you know what? We just need to be consistent. And when they go ahead and maybe give you a little bit of lip, and the kids give a little bit of lip, you just be consistent and say, we're going anyways. Amen. And you know, let me just stop here a little bit. You know, you teenagers, or you think you know it all, and you think maybe, you know, you don't have to do what my mom or daddy says. You know what, as long as you're under your roof, you do have to do as they say. And if you feel like you can be so cocky that, you know, why should I have to obey mom and why should I have to obey dad? Because children obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And as long as you, and if you feel like you can do a better job with your life, okay, then teenager, and I don't condone this, but go ahead and go out, get yourself an apartment, go ahead and get yourself a car. Let me tell you something, it won't be long before you be coming back to mama and daddy. Amen. Hey, you know what? We need to obey, teenager. And you need to stop rebelling against mom and dad. And you need to just keep on going to church. You need to do as they say. And we just need some consistency as parents and some stick-to-itiveness and not quitting. And we must not run to the world. We must keep on going and be consistent with raising our kids and doing what we're supposed to do. Let me just give you a few thoughts and I'm done. Number one, about the storm. You know, just we got to understand, all storms are temporal. You're going to get through it. You will. You know what? As I was preparing this, I got thinking of Noah. 40 days and 40 nights, but it really lasted much longer than that. And you know what? After a while, it ended for Noah. I can imagine being, just think about Noah's position. His wife, his kids, his family. You know, I'm sure after about 2 or 3 days on that boat, and you're just floating whoever knows where, God only knows where. About 2 or 3 days, you know, I'm sure that fine wood smell, that newness of that ark kind of got a little, kind of disappeared after a while with another smell. You know what? And think about it. After about 3 or 4 days of that, you know, I can imagine when they first got in there, yeah, maybe a nice smell of the ark, the newness and so forth, that goat, you know, and so forth. But after maybe 2 or 3 days or maybe about a week, you know what? It got a little bit, the stench was not so perfumey anymore. It was a different perfume. And they lived with that day after day after day after day. And I can't help but wonder if maybe Noah sat back and said, God, what in the world? What is going on here? God, you know, I've trusted you this far, but, you know, I really need some fresh air. But listen, you know, I know it's very simple, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? The storm ended. You know, the rain stopped. The waters receded. The ark landed on dry land. Hey, listen, you know what? Whatever you're going through tonight, your heartache, your storm, it's only for a little while. You know what? You know, by the way, we're only on this earth for a little while. Maybe you'll have to battle illness for the rest of your life. I don't know. But you know what? It's just for a little while. And one of these days, you know what? We're going to spend forever in heaven. Amen. Number two, remember, you'll not have to go through it alone. Jesus, you know, if the disciples would just thought a little bit, of course they knew Jesus, but you know what? Jesus was on the ship all along. He was there all along. You know what, this ship that you're traveling, so to speak, the will of God, you know, the ups and downs. You know what, you got to understand, Jesus is right there with you. He's right there with you. The Bible says in Psalm 23:3, very familiar, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, you know what, I like them words, thou art with me. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I go through the valleys, I go through the heartaches. Hey, you know what? Maybe the friends won't be with you. Job experienced that, but thou art with me. Hey, remember, you know, a few thoughts. Realize the storms are only temporal. They'll only last for a little while. They will not last forever. Number two, remember that you'll not have to go through it alone. But I thank God that he's a God that just sticks closer than a brother. He loves you. I just thank God for that. Number three, the storm may be just what God is allowing you to recognize him again. You know, you get kind of busy. We get busy with our own little world, if you will. And sometimes we get so busy that it gets a little cloudy. Things get clouded up, so to speak. The truth of the matter is, maybe God says, you know what? Hey, they're kind of losing their sight on me. And maybe God does allow. Maybe God has allowed a little battle in your life to go ahead and realize his greatness and his love for you. You know, I know it's so easy as Christians that we just kind of get so busy. And sometimes we're so busy doing the right things, but we forgot to acknowledge God. And after a while, you know, because God is a jealous God, he wants to spend time with you. And we might be busy even soul winning or serving and doing different things, but we forgot to talk to him. We forgot to allow him to have the space in your life that he deserves. And he says, you know what? I got to wake this guy up a little bit. He hasn't met with me in some time. And he may allow that battle, if you will, to go ahead and help you to recognize his greatness and his love and to recognize him again. The next, just about the time that we recognize him and we see his greatness, and we finally get to that point, you know, and just picture the disciples there. Of course, they go down and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Of course, they are fearful. They've lost their faith. But about that time, you know, Jesus comes up and cries out, Peace! Be still. And there was a great calm, the Bible says. Yeah, you go through the storm. You go back and forth a little bit, and you're wondering, oh, well, you're scared, you're shaking, you're wondering, God, what's happening here? But just about the time that we kind of have to wake up, so to speak, he comes out at the right time and says, hey, peace, be still. I kind of think tonight, wonder what the disciples were thinking. They'd worked all day with Jesus. They'd served. Perhaps they were a little bit weary. They were a little bit tired. They were fearful, the Bible says, and as a result, that fear took their faith. They lost their faith. How is it that you have no faith? Of course, Jesus comes out and just says, peace, be still. Let me ask you a question tonight. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful tonight? Where are you tonight? Are you fearful in a storm and you're just about wondering, I'm about ready to bail. Let me tell you, don't bail. God needs you. You know, you're fearful. The storms of life have just gone ahead and clouded your vision so much that you just don't see the end and you don't know if God is really there. Hey, God's still there. You just need to keep on having the faith. You need to keep on sticking by him. And you know, he'll get you through the storm. Do you feel yourself getting weary and ready to quit? Has a storm caused you to waver in your walk with Christ? Are you flirting with the world because of the storm? Has it caused you to lose focus on what is important? That Sunday school class is mighty important. Knocking on doors is really important. Why? Because we're trying to keep people out of hell. That raising your family is really, really important. But has a storm caused you to lose focus on what is really important? Hey, as your pastor tonight, I'm going to plead with you, stay faithful. Don't bail out on God. He's never bailed out on you. You could be at the lowest of the low of the low of the low of the low, but you know what? When all else bails, God's still right there with you. Stay faithful. Keep on serving. Keep on serving that bus route. Keep on teaching that class. Keep on working that nursery. Keep on cleaning that building. Keep on raising your family. Keep on working your job. Have a good testimony at work. Faithful, stay faithful, and just do not quit. Keep on going. And let your battle be an opportunity to lift up and glorify Christ. That's really the whole message tonight. If we would go ahead and just kind of look at the battle in a positive way, see, automatically we just say, you know what, this just isn't worth it. Why the battle? We'd look at all the negatives, but you know what? If we would just go ahead and with God's eyes, from God's perspective, look at that battle and that storm in a positive way and use it as an opportunity to lift up Christ. Whatever it is. I use the illustration of losing a spouse. You know what? Use it as an opportunity to lift up Christ. To help others get through losing a spouse. Use your whatever it is that you're going through as an opportunity to give God all the glory. Amen. The Bible says, I think these disciples, and of course the Bible says these disciples were fearful. Why are you so fearful? So fearful tonight that you're just going to quit? No. Maybe tonight you need to come down. I know I oftentimes have to press a reset button and say, okay, God, I'll just keep on going. You know what? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You know, I remember when Sarah was told that she's going to have a baby. You know, Sarah, Abraham's wife, that is, was told that she was going to have a baby, and she laughed. Hey, you know what? There was nothing. The statement was, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing's too hard for the Lord. You know, if God can go ahead and give a 90-year-old woman a baby, you know what? He can take care of your needs. He can take care of your heartache tonight. Nothing's too hard. Now, Heavenly Father, sure to love you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. We thank you for your faithfulness. I pray, dear God, that maybe some of us who are fearful, maybe we could have been on the verge, maybe some of us are on the verge of bailing out on you. I pray, dear Lord, that you would encourage them tonight. Maybe they need to reset their button, so to speak, and say, I'm going to just keep on keeping on. Everything's going to be all right because you're in control. I pray, dear God, whatever the heartache, whatever the need, whatever the burden, whatever the decision may need to be made tonight, I pray, God, that they'll step out and just put it all in your hands and let you go ahead and continue to lead them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. The music's going to play in just a moment, but where are you tonight? Has fear caused you to lose your faith? Has the fear of whatever it is in your life, whatever you're thinking, maybe some new things or whatever, has fear caused you to lose your faith? Don't let it. Maybe tonight you've got to go ahead and just simply press the reset button and say, okay, God, you know what, it's you and me. I'm going to team up again with you. You know, I know I've been a little bit wavering. I know I've been a little bit off here a little bit in my Christian life, but you know what, I'm going to reset that button. I'm just going to keep on going forward. Keep on serving you. I'm going to be faithful to you. The music's going to play. Won't you make that decision tonight? As the music plays. Where are you tonight? A little bit fearful? A little bit scared? Maybe fearful of the unknown. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow?